I'm aware this is the first I've preached since July. So I'm Pastor Doug. You have noticed I've been around. I just haven't. I think there were a few of you getting nervous. But I have to just take a moment to thank both Jim Chapman and Pastor Steve, who did, I would say, more than admirable. They did a phenomenal job these last few months, and Mike Rutenberg last week also filled in for me. That was an extra week than originally planned when my in-laws decided to move over Labor Day weekend. But it's good to be back. I do just want to give, before I dive into the message, want to give an update. Some of you have asked, you know, those of you who don't know, the reason I've been out of the pulpit for the month of August was to try to finish my dissertation and for the doctoral program that I'm in at NIAC. I'm close, but I'm still not there yet. So now I'm back in my trying to juggle my ministry schedule and finish things up to the deadline. So I would just encourage your continued prayer that I have the flexibility. If I needed to push it back, I probably could, but I don't want to. I want to be done. So just pray for perseverance. You know, on that morning in September 11th, I remember very clearly how clear, at least in Pittsburgh, how clear the sky was. I don't even know if there were clouds in the sky, but it was a crystal, I mean, just blue sky. I remember we had a daycare in our church there in McKeesport, and I remember playing with the rabbit ears, you know, going back a little bit, playing with the rabbit ears so we could get the TV as we were hearing stuff coming in, playing with the rabbit ears to try to be able to see the events, and we got it. The TV hooked up just about the time that the second plane hit. And we knew that this wasn't an accident. Today, as we remember those events, I realize we have my son was young enough, we were trying to shield him at that point. He knew there was something going on. Every time he'd walk into the room, he'd see tears in mom and dad's eyes. He knew there was something going on, major. And I realized that Bryce and those in his age group grew up in this age of terror. And yet, I realize that we have some young people that it's all in the history books, but it's not something that's vivid in our minds. But those of us that were alive and were old enough to remember, those details are pretty seared into our minds. And there's a lot of emotion tied to that. We witnessed our nation under attack. We witnessed the violence and loss of life that we had never seen before. But as I shared earlier when we were recognizing our fire, police, and EMS personnel, one of the things that really came out for me in watching the events of September 11th was just we realized how quickly or how important the role of first responders were for us as a nation. And I don't know how much I even knew the term first responder prior to 9/11. But when we saw the first responders respond first to this horrific incident in New York and then at the Pentagon and then outside of Somerset with the plane crash, Flight 93, we saw that it was the first responders that out of duty but also out of service went and they experienced I think all of us to some degree were traumatized by what we saw in the news. But the level of trauma and the impact of the event had its greatest impact on those that were there firsthand serving. And so we're going to watch a brief video clip. There's no way to do this without tapping into some emotion. But the video, I think, takes us back, but to help us remember what we experienced 15 years ago.
We just had a plane crash into Alpha 4 of the World Trade Center, transmit a second alarm, and start relocating companies into the area.
The World Trade Center, tower number one, is on fire. The whole outside of the building, there was just a huge explosion.
We have a number of floors on fire. It looked like the plane was aiming towards the building.
Big bang. And then we saw smoke coming out, and everybody started running out, and we saw the plane on the other side of the building, and there was smoke everywhere.
Marine 6 to Manhattan, urgent.
Hazmat 1 standby, Marine 6, go.
You have a second plane into the other tower of the Trade Center, major fire.
Doesn't separate you from the pain of witnessing that and the feelings that we experienced even that morning. I have already said, though, you know, we remember on this day, we remember close to 3,000 people. If you add up those who lost their lives in New York and Somerset and at the Pentagon, it's just under 3,000 people that lost their lives. Of that 3,000 people, some of you may not be aware of this. Since I worked primarily with firefighters in McKeesport, this is a number that is embedded in my mind, 343. I have a close emotional connection with firefighters just with the years that I've walked with them, but this week I even connected with a couple of the guys from McKeesport that went and helped following the event. That still process stuff from what they experienced being there. And even after these 15 years, still processing. One of the things that was very apparent was not only the magnitude of the loss of firefighters during that morning, but the impact that had on the different stations. Some of the stations lost a significant portion of their crew. And so there was not just the initial shock, but the follow-up shock of realizing that their brothers were no longer there to serve alongside of them. And they were trying to do their job and trying to reorganize after this incredible loss of life. In addition to the 343 New York City firefighters, there were 23 New York City police officers and 37 Port Authority officers that lost their life on that morning. You know, when we think about that, it's very important, I think, that we remember how many of those individuals were running towards the danger when everyone else was running away. And again, that was out of duty, but it was also out of a sacrificial service that they gave. This is where we became aware of the term, and at least more people became aware of the term first responder. And the first responders, if you go to the next slide, first responders are those who run toward the dangers while others run from it. You know, what I have found, though, is that when we think about our first responders, 9/11 reminds us of the great sacrifice of when there's loss of life, when someone has actually given their life in the line of duty. But over the years in working with first responders, I've become more aware of just the daily stress and the challenges that officers and their families face each day. And that's something I was not aware of prior to actually serving as a chaplain of a department. Over the years, I was working as a chaplain served 10 years in that capacity in McKeesport. And in talking to different personnel, some people were not quick to share their stories. Other people would share a little bit more freely. But anyone who had served as a fire, police, or EMS for very long, they had their stories. And in telling their stories, in the training that I received as I was serving in that capacity, I became aware of a phrase and a term that I didn't even know before, and that's critical incident stress. Because I had no concept of what our firefighters and our police and our EMS workers experience on a day-to-day basis. And that idea of the critical incident stress is, it's like when you're there at the accident scene, when you're there at the structure fire, when you're there responding to a domestic situation or some situation of violence or a situation of loss or of property or loss of life, that there's an impact not only on the individuals that are involved that are experiencing the tragedy firsthand, but the first responders that are there to serve, they're witnessing it. They're taking it all in. When we think of that concept, we realize that our first responders see and hear and experience things that most of us will never have to experience. I remember I've had two or three incidents that to this day I don't like to talk about because of those same type of thing. The stress that you experience, for me, my stress came from dealing with the families that were experiencing the tragic loss of life. And hearing the screams or hearing the emotion in response to that tragedy. Our first responders sacrifice daily. We don't just remember those who have given their life in the line of duty. We remember the fact that all of our first responders, we ask them to sacrifice daily in their service. And so sometimes that stress comes from one significant incident, but for most of our first responders, it comes from a cumulative effect of multiple incidents and multiple stories and multiple experiences that they've had, that some will tell you they get numb. Others, though, even those who say that they're numb, typically there's one or two incidents that if they start sharing, it brings back a well of emotion because it somehow connected with them. You know, as I was thinking about this morning and how to remember the tragic events of September 11th, but also to take time to say thank you and remember the sacrifice of our first responders in this nation, and to thank specifically the first responders in our community, the scripture that immediately came to my mind is a scripture where Jesus is talking to his disciples and giving them the command to love. And in giving that command, and the scripture is John 15, 12 through 13, in giving that command, he not only gives the command, but then he illustrates what that love looks like. And let's go ahead and look at John 15, 12 through 13, because when we look at this, I think it helps us understand why when we see first responders sacrifice, why it moves us, why it touches us deeply. But I pray for everyone here today, too, that we would be reminded that these were not only words for Jesus. This is something that Jesus went on to demonstrate for each one of us. And be reminded of the fact that Jesus not only illustrates the call to love in a way that resonates with what we're talking about today, about the sacrifice of first responders, but we know that Jesus himself went on to demonstrate his love for not only the disciples, but to his friends, but to demonstrate God's love for the world. We know that Jesus went on to give his life. John 15, 12 through 13, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." not just love, but he says, as I have loved you. So the love that we're called to is a reflection of the love that God has for us. We're called to that sacrificial love. He says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You know, Jesus said a lot of things that the disciples recorded in each of the Gospels. And I've always kind of wondered, because it's clear when you read through the Gospels that most of the disciples, most of the time, didn't get it. That's why I feel there's hope for every one of us as we're walking with Christ. Because even though they walked for 3 years with Jesus, they weren't getting it. And so, I mean, Jesus would talk about the fact he's going to go to Jerusalem, that he's going to be betrayed, and he's going to be handed over and be persecuted and crucified. And what does Peter do? Rebukes them. Rebukes Jesus. Says, oh no, Jesus, you're not going to do that. They didn't get it. They didn't get what Jesus was, what his real mission was. And so when we think about that, I always think of how the light must have been going on, not just following Jesus' death, but following his resurrection, and then especially when the Holy Spirit then came to empower the church. How God's Spirit must have just brought the scriptures, what we have as scriptures, but brought Jesus' words to mind. And you have to think that one of those words that Jesus shared and teachings that Jesus shared that would have been front and center for each of the disciples as they reflected upon Jesus' death and then later his resurrection, they would have remembered his words. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Jesus didn't just say it. He went on to demonstrate it. Demonstrated his love for his disciples, but also, we know, demonstrated the Father's love for the world. When we look at the stories and hear the stories of individuals who have lost their lives in service to another, whether it be a first responder or a family member risking life for a loved one, we're moved by that because we see in that sacrifice, we see love in action. At the heart of love, as God describes it, is a sacrifice, a sacrificial love that puts the needs of another ahead of our own. That we are considering, that a love that is described in these words is a love that considers others and their needs before we consider our own wants and our own needs. Doesn't sound very American. Our culture, as much as we say we celebrate that, our culture, we're pretty much sucked into this lifestyle of it's about me, about what I want, about what I need. And yet Christ calls us to a place where we're willing to sacrifice, willing to let go of our life so that we might find it. That we're willing to come to a place so that God's call to love others is held up above our own wants and our own needs. And we're called to this place of laying down our lives. Now, the reality is most of us will never be in a place that we would be in a position to have to physically give our life. And even though the statistics are horrific to look at, when you look at the line of duty deaths for fire and police and EMS, even though those numbers can be high, the reality is that most police officers, most firefighters, EMS, will get through their career without loss of life. And yet there's a picture of putting, for a first responder, when they put the uniform on and when they go to serve, in that moment they've made the choice to put their life at risk. They've made the choice in that moment to say, I will serve, instead of being just focused on my own safety, my own wants, and my own desires. When we understand Jesus' call for his disciples, the reality is for every one of us, if we accept Christ's call to follow him as a disciple, that if we're willing to embrace the call to follow Christ, to become his follower, that in doing that, we are making the choice to put the uniform on, to lay down our lives, to follow Christ no matter where he leads. This idea of laying down our lives, there's two aspects to that. There's that picture of the ultimate sacrifice. And we know many people over the years, thousands of people, not only in the early church, but there are thousands giving their lives for Christ even today as martyrs. That even as a follower of Christ in this day, there are some parts of the world where they are putting their life in jeopardy. And yet every one of us, if we really accept the call to follow Christ and to love as God calls us to love and to serve as Christ calls us to serve, there's not only that potential ultimate sacrifice of giving our life as a martyr, there's that daily sacrifice that we're called to. And that this is reflected in what we see in our first responders, this idea of the daily sacrifice of putting the uniform on and going to serve. This picture of embracing of the daily sacrifices is where we embrace that role of a servant. Now, you may be following along here, hopefully, but you might think, well, how did I move from sacrifice to service? And the two are connected. In Philippians 2, 5 through 8, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, talking about how we need to have the mind or attitude of Christ if we follow him, that we need to have Christ's attitude and his mind and how we approach life. And he touches on this issue of sacrifice and service. He says in verses 5 through 8, "Have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself to becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." You see this picture of Christ, who is God, Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Christ, being God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. And the form that he took was a form not of a great king, although he was king. He took the form of a servant. And when we read Jesus' life and his example and his teachings, we realize that that was a life not only that he demonstrated, but that he called all of his followers to. A life of service. And that call to embrace the role of a servant means that we're willing to lay down our lives, to put the needs of another ahead of our own, and embrace the call to serve in our life. Today, I want us to think not only of what our first responders have done and what our first responders do in giving their life in service with the potential of the ultimate sacrifice, but the daily sacrifice of just fulfilling the duty, but also putting the needs of others ahead of their own. I pray that every one of you would also understand that when we look at Christ and his sacrifice, we not only celebrate what God has done for us, and it's the whole reason we're here. The whole reason this church exists is because of what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus did on the cross what we couldn't do for ourselves. He took our sin upon himself, died in our place so that we might find forgiveness, that we might be restored to a relationship with God, to walk in fellowship with God, in an intimate relationship with him, and to have the hope of eternity based on what Jesus has done for us through his sacrifice and through his resurrection and through God's Spirit and coming to live inside of us. But we not only remember what Christ has done in demonstrating his love and what he's done for us, we're reminded of the fact that every one of us, if we embrace Christ, if we choose to follow Christ, we're choosing the role of a servant. We're choosing the role of a servant who we don't consider ourselves above others, but we lay down our lives to serve. So I want to encourage you today to think about that in your own life, to not only remember and celebrate and to pray for our first responders, but to look in your own life and say, am I living a life of sacrificial love and serving the needs of another? Am I doing that out of a relationship with Christ that celebrates the sacrifice that Christ made for each one of us? Today, as we close, I four things that I want us to think about in the sense of how we can respond. One, we need to remember those And this is why we took the time to do this today. We need to remember those who have made the ultimate sacrifice. You know, we said a lot 15 years ago that we'll never forget. That seemed to be the slogan again and again, we'll never forget. And yet, most of us go through our day without thinking about the sacrifice that many have made. We need to pray for those who serve each day. And if you don't know a fireman or firefighter, police officer, EMS person, pray for them in general. But if you know some specific individuals, put them on your prayer list. Find ways to encourage them and to say thank you. But lift them up in prayer and lift up their families as well. But remember, as we think about the sacrifice and Jesus' words of no greater love than one who would lay down his life for his friend, remember that Jesus demonstrated his love for you on the cross. And if you're here today and you've never experienced and had an encounter with God's love, where you received the gift of salvation and responding to the gift of love that we experience through Christ, I encourage you, talk to me, talk to one of the other leaders here. Our church exists for one clear reason: to help people discover not only the forgiveness of Christ, but to discover a relationship with God they were created for. And so if you're here today and you've never thought of the love that Christ has for you, just reflect on the love that God demonstrated through his son Jesus on the cross. But it's my prayer for each of us that we not only just walk out and thank God for our first responders, but that we all would embrace the call to serve. That we'd embrace the call not just to find a ministry or find some task that we're going to do. Serving is one thing. Becoming a servant is different. We all can make a choice to act in acts of service. But when we make the choice to become a servant, that affects not only our actions, it affects our heart and our attitude. And when our hearts and our attitude are those of a servant, or our mind, as Paul says in Philippians 2, when we have the mind of Christ or the attitude of Christ of humility and of sacrificial service, then the outflow from that heart of being a servant are sacrificial acts that impact people in a greater level than anything that we would do in our own strength. When we take the time to really let God transform us and respond out of his love and respond out of his call to humility and sacrificial love, that's when God begins to use our actions to be a blessing in the lives of others. But we have to be willing to embrace the call to serve. Will you pray with me? I'd like the musicians to come. Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful, Lord, for not only your words and scripture, but we're grateful for the fact that Jesus, you not only demonstrated that you said that there is no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends, but Lord, you demonstrated that. And in your death, you secured so much for us. You not only demonstrated your love for us and the love of the Father, but you secured our forgiveness. You gave us the hope of eternity. And you call us to a life where we walk in obedience to you, and you call us to embrace a life of service to others. Lord, I just pray that today that you would just move in our hearts to not only be grateful for those who serve, but that we would also remember the great love that you have demonstrated through your son Jesus and embrace the call to serve others, putting the needs of others above our own. Lord, may we truly be servants to this community. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This song that we're closing with really is a song of response. It's us declaring to God that wherever he leads, whatever he calls us to, that we're willing to go, that we're willing to follow. Losing a battle with a microphone here. That no matter what God is doing, that we're willing to join him. And so I just encourage you, if God has been speaking to your heart about choosing to be a servant, to follow in Christ, not only trust in Christ and what he has done for us, but choosing to follow in his example to be a servant to others, I just encourage you to just sing these words, hopefully not only like you mean them, but I pray that from your heart that you would mean these words as we sing.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow.
All your ways are good. All your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone, higher than my side, high above my life. I will trust in you alone, in you alone. Where you are, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I love. Where you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you. Light unto the world, light unto my life. I will live for you alone. You're the one I seek. You're the one. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. In this life, I'll lose. I will follow you. I will follow you. In you there's freedom for my soul. In you there's joy, unending joy. And I will follow.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you love, I'll love. I'll follow. If you follow, I'll use myself. If this life I lose, I will fall.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. In this life I lose, I will follow you.
You pray with me. Dearly Father, I just pray as we go, Lord, that we would take to heart the message today to remember those who are serving our community. Lord, that we would lift them up in prayer, that we'd be an encouragement to them. But Lord, may we also celebrate the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, and all that you've secured for us. But Lord, may we also remember Christ's call to follow him as a servant, to have the same mind, the same attitude that doesn't consider our own position, doesn't consider our own wants or needs, but embraces the role of being a servant to others. Lord, how much better would this community would be, and how much greater would this nation be if we all adopted that type of a heart to serve others. Lord, I just pray that today as we go, Lord, that you would move in our hearts, that we might truly be servants to this world, and that we might reflect your love to this world and in the acts of service, Lord, that you call us to. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.